Okay. Good morning, everybody. And today is the exciting day when we begin the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Yet Hashem, one of these weeks we're going to make a formal, proper siyum over the Be'er HaGoyla. But today we will begin the Netzach Yisrael with the Hakdama, with the introduction of the Netzach Yisrael. The Sefer Netzach Yisrael of the Maharal is a, like all the Svarim of the Maharal is unusual. Rabbi Hartman, who I bumped into in the summer, said, "Oh, you're going to do Netzach Yisrael? My favorite." Okay, so he may have many favorites, you know, but from the person who's made the Maharal's work so accessible and so usable, it's a special thing. The theme of the Netzach Yisrael, as Maharal himself describes it in the Sharblat, in the opening pages, Medaber, Kilo Yitosh Amo Asher Lasos Lo La'am Ho'el, right, this is poetic, he will not abandon the people that he chose to make as his own, Lo Yazov Chevel Nachaloso Asher Bom Bochar Ho'kel, he will not again leave his portion, and so on, Lo Yishakir Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of the Jewish people will not fail, will not lie. That's the pasuk where this phrase Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of Israel, Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir, right? The eternity of Israel will not lie, meaning will not fail. Will always be there, and he'll send us Mashiach HaGoel, and he'll build us Binyan Ariel, and so on and so on and so forth. So the idea of Netzach, the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, whereas the Be'er HaGoyla was particularly crafted as a explanation, a defense of Chazal, explaining what Chazal were doing from the many critics who cast aspersions on what Chazal were doing and didn't understand. And you have the Tiferes Yisrael, which is about the Torah and the giving of the Torah, and the Gvuras Hashem, which is specifically about the redemption from Mitzrayim. Right, the Netzach Yisrael is about the history from Mitzrayim forward. In fact, in many ways, he alludes to it himself here a little bit in the introduction, and Netzach Yisrael is to some degree a continuation of the Gvuras Hashem. The Gvuras Hashem, which is about Yitzias Mitzrayim, in some ways Netzach Yisrael is a continuation of that. One of the main reasons why we're not doing the Netzach Yisrael, the Gvuras Hashem first, is because Rabbi Hartman didn't do the Gvuras Hashem yet. but it's a,
you know, we want to do that next.
It's a freestanding. It's still a freestanding work with cross references constant to all. To everything. But just to give you like a sample of what he's going to be talking about here in the Sefer, the way the chapters read, you know, the first, after the introduction, the first chapter is the relationship between Golus and Geula. And then he's going to speak about the destructions of the Beis HaMikdash and their specific natures. This one, this type of a destruction for this Beis HaMikdash, this type of a destruction for that Beis HaMikdash. The stories of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza and the destruction of Beitar, many of the things discussed in the famous Agadaic passages that we learn on Tisha B'Av about the destructions of the Beis HaMikdash. And then speaking more about the kingdoms and the specific power of Esav and of Rome and so on and so forth. A lot of things about, again, the Chazal view of Jewish history. And I think that there's a lot that we're going to, Mir Tashem, be able to pick up from this, to be able to understand and apply for our contemporary. The Hakdama, the introduction of the Netzach Yisrael, which is by his standards a rather brief introduction. The introduction of the Netzach Yisrael speaks really about, to some degree, that bridge between the original redemption, the one which is most famous, the one which we recall every day, twice a day, Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the theme of the Gvuras Hashem, and the geulois, the redemptions that we had subsequently, and most specifically the redemption going forward, and the relationship of these two. And the Maharal is going to speak about it, and we're going to learn in this piece of the Maharal both a little bit about that relationship and a little bit about a Maharal concept, a classic and typical Maharal concept generally in terms of relationships generally. Not spousal relationships, but in terms of relationships between what we're going to see, what he's going to talk about of Sibo Masovic, between cause and effect or cause and result. The pasuk says in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Lo ye'amer oid, hine yamim boim, days will be coming. Lo ye'amer, and it will not be said, Chai Hashem asher heles Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. People will not say, oh, by God who brought the Jewish people up and out of the land of Egypt. Kiim, but rather, Chai Hashem asher helev asher hevi azera beis Yisrael. Live by Hashem who brought up and brought the children of the Beis Yisrael me'eretz hafayna, from the northern land, from Babel, u'mikola aratzeis asher hidachtim shama, and from all the lands where I have spread them out there. In other words, the pasuk is saying that there will be new events that will happen, new redemptions that will take the place, that will supplant Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. Once upon a time, the way we remembered Hashem was as Hashem who took us out of Egypt, because that was the last big thing, so to speak, that He did for us. Says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who is the prophet of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he's saying, look, you know, terrible things are happening for the Jewish people, but don't worry, a day will come, there's going to be a new redemption. And when that redemption comes, we won't even have to think back to the old redemption of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We'll be able to think about the more recent redemption, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from the northern lands, from Bavel. Of course, that was where the Golos of Yirmiyahu was to happen. And from all the lands where we have been spread out, which also existed already then. Remember that the Yirmiyahu came after the 10 tribes were Nidach, were also sent and lost to other places. So that's the verse. This pasuk and the interpretation of this pasuk really serves as a basis for a machlokas, for a difference of opinion, which everybody around this table has learned. Everybody. Why? Because everybody's been at a Pesach Seder? Yes. Everybody here has been at a Pesach Seder, and it's in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, we mention this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelas. You mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. Amar Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah. Hare ani keven shivim shana. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah said, oh, I'm like 70 years old. V'loi zachisi sh'teyomer yitzias Mitzrayim b'alelis. And I did not merit to get this across, that people would say yitzias Mitzrayim, mention it at night as well. Ad shidrasha ben Zayma. Sh'nemar l'man tizkar esiyam tizcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Till ben Zayma learned it from a pasuk, where it said, in order that you'll remember the day that I took you out of Mitzrayim, all of the days of your life. Yimei chayecha hayamim. If it would have just said the days of your life, so we would have known you have to do it during the day. But since it says kol yimei chayecha, all of the days of your life, that's halelos. That includes the nights as well. But the chachamim disagreed, and the chachamim said no. Yimei chayecha, the days of your life, means ha'olam hazeh, in this world. But kol yimei chayecha means including yimei hamashiach, even the days of Mashiach. In other words, what's the debate? According to the first opinion, he doesn't include Yumais HaMashiach. He doesn't include the days of Mashiach. Because when Mashiach comes, we'll have more recent events to talk about than Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim will be forgotten, it would seem, relative to Yitzias America, Yitzias Russia, Yitzias all the other Goliaths. When we're going to be brought back there, we'll have so much news to talk about, we're not going to be thanking Hashem for ancient history. We won't be remembering ancient history. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, and they say no. Even in Yemos HaMashiach, you will remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. You will still remember the first exodus from the Golos. Very basic machlokes. And the Gemara right away brings that Ben Zoma argued to the Chachamim. They said, what do you mean? You're going to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? What about this verse in Yirmiyahu that we started with, which says the days will come where it will no longer be said, Chai Hashem. Live Hashem who took us out of Egypt, but rather live Hashem who redeemed us from other places. Says the Gemara, Amru Loi, so the Chachamim argued back to him and they said, Loi Shetayokir Yitzias Mitzrayim Im Kaima. It's not that Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be completely taken out of its place, uprooted, that we're going to forget about it. Ela Shetay Shibun Malchius Iker, the Yitzias Mitzrayim Tafaloi. Shibun Malchius, the subordination that we've had to the other kingdoms, that will be front and center. Yes. That's what Yirmiyahu is saying. You'll be speaking primarily, in a certain sense, dominantly, about Hashem redeeming us from all of the other kingdoms. However, Yitzias Mitzrayim will still be there. It'll be tafelah. Yitzias Mitzrayim will, to some degree, become the background ge'ula. but it will still have to be remembered. Yirmiyahu is not saying that it will be completely supplanted. It will just be now, to some degree, overshadowed, shared, billing with the other one. Kiyaitse bayata aimer, and the Gemara continues and says, I want to give you an example where we have the same thing. And where's that? Lo yikara shimcha od Yaakov, ki Yisrael yiyashimecha. Yaakov Avinu was told, your name will no longer be called Yaakov, but rather it will be Yisrael. Very similar formulation, the Gemara says, to what Yirmiyahu says, that it will not be said anymore that Hashem took out the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, so we don't call him Yaakov anymore? No, we still call him Yaakov. Lo shiyakar Yaakov imkoma el Yisrael ikar v'Yaakov tafila. Yisrael is his main name, his ideal name, but Yaakov is still there, at least as a secondary name. And he goes on, the Gemara goes on and says as follows. V'cheinu aimer, al tiskeru rishonais v'kadmonis al tisbeinenu. Don't remember the early ones, and the very early ones don't contemplate. Al tiskeru rishonais v'shibud malchios. That refers to the subordination. Don't remember the early ones, that's the shibud of the kingdoms. And the v'kadmonis al tisbeinenu z'yetzias Mitzrayim. That refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because hineni oisa chadosha atat tismach. Because I'm doing something new that will now blossom forth, that's what you will focus on. So, Tanu Rav Yosef Zu Milchemes Goygu Magog, that's the ultimate battle. The ultimate battle, Goygu Magog, right, that will be the way to Mashiach. So, that's what it's saying. Moshe L'mo'adavar Daimeh, what's this compared to? L'adam Shei Mahalach B'derech. Person was traveling. U'paga B'Zev, and as he's traveling, he encounters a wild wolf. V'nitel Mimenu, and he escapes from the wolf. And when he stopped that night at the hotel, he was talking around the table. He's saying, oh, let me tell you the story. You know what happened to me today? And then he goes on his trip. The next day he encounters a lion. He gets saved from him. That night, he wasn't even telling the story about the wolf anymore. He was telling the story about the lion. And then, the next day was a snake. By then, he was only telling the story about the snake. Right? Afkach, Yisrael, Tzoreis, Achroinais, Meshachais, Esarishan. It's the same with the Jewish people. The later difficulties make us forget the earlier difficulties. And we stop thinking about those and talking about those, and we focus only on the most recent. Something which is true also generally, by the way, in private life as well. In individual life, rather, as well.
In that Gemara, does each of those animals represent?
Yeah, so there is certainly, much room for that in the drasha, especially because you know that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, who is explicitly compared to the lion, and the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by Edom, that's explicitly compared to the snake. Right? So it's not just a metaphor. There's more to it. The Zev, the wolf, has less coverage, but that also is significant because if you remember the Greeks. Right? Remember the story of Miriam Bas Baitus who spoke Lucus Lucus, right? Wolf, wolf, you're eating up the money of the Jewish people. She was in the time of the Greeks. She was really speaking about the Mizbeach. There's what to talk about here in that. But we're not going to go down the road of the specifics of that comparison. We will, Be'ezras Hashem, have plenty of that later in the Netzach Yisrael. But right now, what the Maral in this introduction to the Netzach Yisrael about the eternity of Klal Yisrael is discussing more than anything else is this that the Chachamim put forth, that interestingly we accept together with saying it's Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. We also believe that it's not going to be completely eradicating the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we will do it. And we will have Yetzias Mitzrayim, Tofel, secondary, but also there with the Geula Hasida, with the redemption to come. So, when Maral in discussing this begins with what I mentioned to you before in introducing this discussion, is the concept of Siba Umasayvev, of cause and effect. Basically, what the Maral is going to say here, vis-a-vis Yetzias Mitzrayim, is and the Gula Achrayna, is that it's not simply there was one event and then it was a second event, third event. The question is how good our memory is. Do we still remember all the other things that we were through, or do we just have this short-term memory issue that, we can only remember the most recent thing which happened to us? No. According to the Maral, the idea over here of the mentioning of Geulas Mitzrayim in every Geula is because it has a role as a Siba, as a Kaz. That the ultimate later redemptions are somehow dependent on, built upon the earlier redemption. Which is a concept which exists very, very much in Geulas Mitzrayim, which we will explore a little bit more about later, in the later part. But that's the approach which he is taking. It's not just, again, a question of, can we remember more than one event, but we must remember Geulas Mitzrayim here, because the subsequent Geulos, to some degree, draw upon the Geulas Mitzrayim, and therefore it can't disappear. But this is a discussion, to start with, he has this discussion about Tzibo Mesayvev, about what a real Tzibo, what a real Kaz, and what a real Mesayvev, what a real result of a Kaz are to be seen. As Baruch Atah Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shekol Nevi Dvarei. Amen.
Is there a thing we learn that Mimas Mashiach will only be celebrating Purim and Yom Kippur, or
it's related. It's
Purim is one of the later redemptions,
or the quality of the specific redemption. I think the different mamorim have to obviously put together. These different mamorim have to be put together. Here, the Maharal is focusing on this mamor, and again, I think it's very much because of this bridge between the Gvuros and the Netzach Yisrael, between Yitzias Mitzrayim and this. But it's in any case, you know, essential truth. So he says like this.
I think he wrote this book right after he wrote the verse.
Yeah. I mean, he linked them. So the idea is like this. Sibo Mesayvev, you know, cause and effect. You buy a Ford, right? You buy a Ford. What was the Sibo? What was the cause for that Ford? Right? What brought that van into existence? Right? There's some company which maybe they're working at, maybe they're on strike, I don't know. Right? Where they brought the parts from Japan or from China or from wherever it is, or from the United States, and they can't, and they put them together, they assemble them, rolled off the assembly line, got to the dealer, got to the three people who owned it before you did, and then it came then it came to you. Right? So Ford is the cause. Ford is the basis for this existence. But on the other hand, let's say this strike ends up being a crippling strike. Right? And Ford closes down and ceases to exist. Do you still have a van? Do you still have a car? Yeah, you still have it. So in a certain sense, it's a cause. But it's not the, right? That company is not the basic cause. That company played a role in putting it together and putting the pieces together, but it can continue to exist without it. And therefore, says the Maharal, that's one level of causation, but it's not the ultimate level of causation, of Sibo Mesayvev. To be the ultimate level of to be a Siba means that it's constant, that it only continues to exist because of this, because of its presence here. So for example, one of the examples which he gives is that if a person builds a house, so the person is the cause for the house, let's say the fellow builds the house and then he dies. The house will still exist. The builder was the one who brought the various pieces together. He brought the pieces of wood together. He placed them one on top of the other. But the thing is, once he did that, so he disappears. And what keeps them, what's the siba to keep them together, to keep the house, is that they're on terra firma. So in a certain sense, you know, the ground beneath the building, or the mortar that between the bricks, is more the active cause of the existence of the house than the person who spread it, because he did his thing, and he disappeared into the moonlight. It's a different level of Sibo Mesayvev. Different level of Sibo Mesayvev. Now, so, in another way, for instance, he says, let's look at a classic example of Sibo Mesayvev of cosmic effect. Parents and their children. A child only exists because of his parents or her parents. Without the parents, the child would not begin to exist. Right? always my favorite beef, right? When the child gets up at the bar mitzvah and thanks his grandmother for the delicious chocolate chip cookies that she always bakes. Thank the grandmother for the fact that I exist. If not for her, I wouldn't be here in this world, right? You know, there might be some nice icing on the cake, too. You want to thank for, like, special warm touches. It's nice. But, you know, first thing is, if not for you, I'm nothing. But on the other hand, you know, it could be a hit and run. You know, the grandparents have the child, and then you're on your own, right? They continue to exist without them. The third partner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the third partner in the being, in the creation of every child, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not like Hashem made the child and now you're on your own. Hashem is Mechaya. Hashem keeps them alive. There's a different level of Sibul Mesovev, which is where they are completely, existentially bound up one with the other, where one could not exist without the other. One of our emunos, one of our faiths, fundamental faiths about Hashem and his relationship to this world, is this. That Hashem is not only the creator of the world once upon a time, but Hashem constantly sustains the world. And as the Rambam writes in the very beginning of his Mishnah Torah, of his code, in Yesodei HaTorah, we have to believe, as part of our fundamental belief, that this, any other being, any other creation, us, the world, everything, would not exist had Hashem not brought it into existence, and would not exist were Hashem not to continue to give it existence. And that's why we speak of Hashem to a certain degree as the only true existence, because Hashem could exist without anything else. But nothing can exist without Hashem. And while this sounds like an arcane philosophical concept, but it's one which we recite every day, which we just recited in the davening, in the bracha about creation, which we say before Kriya Shema. Right, the first bracha after Baruch Hu, Yotzer Aruv Arechoshech, which goes through that whole span with the Malachim and everything else till Blessed are you Hashem who creates the Mo'eres, the luminaries. That's the bracha about creation generally. The second bracha is about the choosing of Klal Yisrael from the midst of the creation. So we end that bracha and we say, HaMechadesh B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem renews in His goodness every day, constantly, creation. The act of Bereishis. As it says, Le'ose Orim Gedolim Kilolam Chazda, who makes the great lights, his kindness is forever. So what's the idea? It doesn't say he made the great lights, it says he makes the great lights. Because it's that he's constantly keeping it going. We said it also in Psukei de Zimra, Ki hu Omar Vayehi, Hutziva Vayamoid. He said, and it came into being. He instructed that it stays, that it continues. We need Hashem to constantly sustain. So Hashem is truly, truly a Siba, the cause for our existence. And I want to just share with you a beautiful, beautiful thought, vort, from Rav Huttner. And it's a vort that Rabbi Hartman brings here. He notes it in the footnotes. It's a beautiful maimer from Rav Huttner in Pesach, where Rav Huttner speaks about the Lechem Haponim, the showbreads that were in the Migdash, in the Mishkan. The Gemara says, really based on a verse, Losum Lechem Chom B'yom Hilakcho, that there was a miracle which was chronic by the Lechem Haponim, by the showbreads. And what was the miracle? The miracle was that they would put it on, they would bake it on Erev Shabbos. They would put it on the table on Shabbos. They would remove it from the table and divvy it up amongst the Chachamim, amongst the Kohanim, the following Shabbos. And the day that they removed it from the Shulchan, it was as fresh, as warm, as the day that they put it there, as the day they took it out of the oven. That was one of the nisim that happened with the Lechem Haponim.
Was the Lechem Haponim leavened or unleavened?
Unleavened.
Was it like matzah or more like lafa?
It wasn't like that, right? It was more like lafa. The unleavened, though, what we have, you know, crispy little wafers, yeah, is not what you know, the classic matzah. It's what we do, our chumrah, our stringency. What?
Because I could sit for a year, you wouldn't notice it.
You would, not, correct.
It often does.
Right. Now this was stuff that would be normally noticed, and it was hot. In any case, it was not even just that; it was mamish hot, like the day it came out. So Rav Huttner says, You know, it's not just the pshat that, you know, when you go to a good, you know, well-done recipe, so they have, you know, warmers, you know, so like the food doesn't get cold, you know. So Hashem wanted to make it sure that the Kohanim, you know, that their lechem haponim didn't have any compromise in its taste or its freshness or its quality, so he kept it fresh for them. He kept it fresh for them. A miracle which happened in the Beis HaMikdash. That's shallow, says Rav Futter. That's not it. He says, what's the idea? So he says, because the truth is, how old is this table? How old is this world that we're in, that we're sitting in right now? Hamechadesh betuvay b'chol yom tamin ma'aseh bereishis. On the inner reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews creation constantly. He gives it energy today, almost like the energy that he gave it at the beginning of creation. Now you're right, of course. In the Sheish Yisimei Bereishis, Hashem created the framework. One day was completely different than the day before. There was an additional thing. He created the framework called Teva, called nature. And you know what that framework has? That framework is this, so to speak, mask, where we think that the world is like that Ford van or Ford car that you got off of the assembly line. That Hashem created the world, and now the world exists. And it's here. It was here yesterday, it was here last year, it was here a decade ago, it was here a millennium ago. And it's still here, the same world. But because we understand that no, there, in a certain sense, the world has no status quo. Hashem treats the world as if it has a status quo. Right? It exists today based on what Hashem had it exist as yesterday. But in the inner reality of it, Hashem is constantly renewing Bereishis. It's a new energy, and which means that in the inner reality of it, nothing is ever old. Everything is always a beria chadosh. It's always new. It's always alive. It's always vibrant and fresh as it is. That is the true inner view of the world, and the Beis Hamikdash, of course, which is the locus of Hashem's creation, the point shemimenu hushas haolam, and the lechem haponim. He says. What does it mean, lechem haponim? How do you translate lechem haponim? Right, so the face bread, right, was shaped in a certain way, but he says, and again, this is not essential to the vort, but ponim penim, you know, the whole notion of the Mikdash is that from the Mikdash you're supposed to derive what's really the inner workings of the world, instead of being trapped in the outer workings of the world. And so, therefore, by nature, it didn't get old. Because, in truth, nothing is old. In the world of Hashem, everything is new and fresh and active and here just because it is.
Lechem haponim, relating to pnimius.
Pnim, panim, pnim, right. In other words, don't look at the superficial. Look at it, right? Like he says, it's a big yesod. Just discussed it recently in the Shabbos shir, that the face is called panim, which means superficial. Also means pnim, which is inside. The face is the place where you see the inner feelings of the person are on display. Right, the inside is on display on the face. You see, that's the point of connection. But take that piece or leave that specific piece. The idea is that in the world of Hashem's real recognition of Hashem is renewing constantly, of course the bread is fresh. Of course the bread is hot. Right? It's not here this moment because it was here last Friday. Because I baked that. It's here because it's here. Because it's here right now. Yeah.
Are things allowed to get stale just to give us free will?
It's part of the whole shape of the outer shape of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world where Hashem made it, that there is. And you say, look, I'm wearing this suit because I bought it 6 months ago and because it's sitting in my closet and it still has this stain because I got in it 2 months ago. Right? So we live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that there's something called time. But this is part of the idea that Hashem, in Hashem there is no time where you say, oh, this is here because it was here yesterday. Hashem's above it. By Hashem, it's constant freshness, constant newness. Right? Without dwelling too much on this because to some degree, really, it is, this notion of a tangent. It's to accent this idea of Hashem constancy. But that's the same idea where we say that you want to do tshuva. Right? Tshuva, so Hashem says, forget it, I don't consider the past. At the same time, he also says, I'm not going to project the future, like with Yishmael. You heard his cries right then and there because we're not going to view life as just a continuum. If it's a continuum, then there's no bechira. Then your psychologist, sociologist is going to tell you exactly what you're going to do for the rest of your life. right? Because this is what happened. These were the influences on you when you were born. This is, you know, this is what you did yesterday, and we could plot the whole thing forward. To connect to God, to connect to godliness means that this instant is here because of this instant, not because of the past. Right? And that's the idea. That's why nothing gets old, truly, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rav Huttner explains. That's the magic of the Lechem HaPanim. That's the specific quality of that ness, of that miracle.
They said the wood is getting old, but the ozen, like the ozen, it's not like the wood.
The ozone layer? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, you've been paying too much attention to Al Gore. yeah, of course it's getting old, and we're getting old, right? And the table's getting old, and the street is getting old. Everything gets old in the world that we have it, the way we have it. It's getting old, right? Oh, those are achat kama v'kama, right? 5 minutes later, and you know, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the place of meeting between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's where we want to see it. You know, he says the same thing, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he just read about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. He died a young man, right? He died fresh, right? He was black-haired. His eyes were crystal clear, sharp. He didn't have the normal signs of aging of any person. Just 120 years came, he died. He was taken from this world, right? But, you know, this idea... The more you're there, the more the vibrancy, the constancy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, the more it's like day one.
Is that also a constant injunction to have Torah the way you
came? Yes, absolutely. The idea that Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, it should be as if you got it today. Right? It's always, when you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's supposed to be fresh and new. Right? The notion, the Mishnah says, that zikenim zikenim chachamim, right? When you get older, you're supposed to get wiser. In other words, aging is not supposed to be what generally we consider it to be in an ideal, in a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be really, really manifest and present. But that's, again, that's just the classic, the quintessential example of Sibul Mesayvev. That there's no such thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and then said, okay, now you're on your own, you know? It'll just keep going. We have a constant connection, constant dependence. Ulefikach sviru lehula chachamim, says the Maral. This is those who are looking, it's on page Gimel, first paragraph. Ulefikach sviru lehula chachamim, I'm sorry, page Gimel in the Hartman edition. Shiei zecher yitzias Mitzrayim afli imais HaMashiach. There is a mention of yitzias Mitzrayim, a memory of yitzias Mitzrayim, even on the days of imais HaMashiach. Because yitzias Mitzrayim is the siba for anything else. Because it was at Mitzrayim, kimin amadrego shekonu Yisrael kshiyotsu mi Mitzrayim, yiknu oid madrego Yisrael yayna. It was Yitzias Mitzrayim that forged our position as the Am Hashem, the Geulei Hashem, the redeemed of Hashem, that will be forever the basis for everything which Hashem does for us subsequently. And therefore, you can never take Yitzias Mitzrayim out of the picture. The idea is a very, very simple one. I mean, you understand the idea, I would imagine, already, right? Hashem took us as his people at Mitzrayim, and therefore we're his people, and we're his people forever. And because we're his people forever, any subsequent good graces which come to us from our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any subsequent redemptions, is keeping that relationship going. Let's just go a little bit deeper or a little bit broader in looking at this. And it's perfect, because it's this week's Parsha, just realize. This week's Parsha, right? This week's Parsha, towards the end of this week's Parsha, we have the Bris Bein Habsarim, right? The Bris Bein Habsarim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the covenant between the pieces, where Hashem comes to Avram, and he tells him that his children, which he promises him that he will have, will be strangers in a foreign land, and will be enslaved for 400 years, and so on and so forth, and then they will leave with great wealth. The promise of Golus Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim, of the exile and the redemption from Mitzrayim. However, let's go to the first psukim about this promise. So what happens? Vahi Hashem Eshlovai, and the sun began to set. V'sardema Novel al Avram, and Avram was starting to get sleepy. V'hine, and behold, Eimach, fear, chashecha, darkness, gedolah, intense, an intense darkness, nefeles alav, was falling upon him. So what does this mean? So Rashi says briefly, remez l'tzoreis v'chayshach sholgolius. Oh, this darkness was a perfect setting because he was going to be talking to him about the exile. Says Rashi, it's a hint to the darkness of golios, of exiles, multiple exiles. Now Rashi, right, sometimes when you see a Rashi like this, you realize how Rashi is trying to be concise. And he's just giving us a very big shorthand, because when you go and you switch over to the Ramban quotes the Medrash which Rashi is alluding to longer hand. Darshu bei remez l'shibud arba golios. In this verse, this phrase, or this collection of terms, hints to the four exiles, which will make up Jewish history, that the Jewish nation experienced once we were taken out of Mitzrayim. Kimotza Navi Benafshe Ema, V'achakach B'chashecha, V'achakach G'dlachashecha. Avraham Avinu, the prophet, in this case, experienced first the fear, then the darkness intensified, and then he felt as if it was completely collapsing over him. They fell us all up. That's the progression that the verse describes. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Amru, Chazal said, Ema, the first fear is referring to Bavel. The first Golus experience we had after we came to Eretz Yisrael, where the Babylonians destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and sent us to Bavel. Chashecha, darkness, refers to Madai. Madai, the Median Empire, right? The kings of Madai took over from the kings of Bavel. We often refer to it together as Porasu Madai, right? Because it was the kings, you know, Daryavesh, Hamadi, Kairesh was the king of Poras. That's the context in which the story of Purim took place. During that period, when we had still not returned to Eretz Yisrael, but Bavel was eclipsed, yeah. Nebuchadnezzar's grandchild was married, perhaps into the family. But it was a new kingdom, and the Jewish people again faced extinction. And we have the celebration of Purim, which is the celebration of redemption from that. Gedolah, the darkness, the intensification of the darkness. That was Antiochus. That was the Greeks. And I fell into love and completely falling over him, that was Edom. That refers to Edom. And says the Ramban, and I'm giving you even some shorthand, I'm not writing everything the Ramban says, Ramban's not writing everything the Medrash says, to explain how the terms link to the Golios. Okay, I'm just, but there is here a hint, these four stages. And says the Ramban, why did this come here? I mean, we're talking here about 400 years from now, or what's going to happen then? This came to Avram. When Hashem is making a covenant to give his children the land as an eternal holding. Omar Lahi said to him, because this is really what's happening here. Avram said to Hashem, how do I know that this land is going to be mine and my permanent heritage? So Hashem said, oh, you're going to go into Golus. Right? You're going to be out of here. So he says, Hashem is saying to him, this is the limits on your gift. Sha'arba goliyos yishtabdu b'banav yimshlu ba'artzam. There are going to be four exiles that will control your children, control your land. If the Jewish people fail, and so to speak, in that sense, deserve it. But then, you will come back. So all of them are included, because this is all part of the promise. All part of the bris of the covenant. All part of making Klal Yisrael his people for eternity. And I just want to close this thought by saying one thing before you go on. And I want you, it's hard, we just finished with Sukkot. How many shopping days is it till Pesach? Right? But remember this, because this is, I think, emissa, true interpretation in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. What do we say in Haggadah Shel Pesach? Baruch, right when we're really getting going. Baruch Shemer Haftachasei L'Yisrael Baruch Hu. Blessed is the one who keeps his promise to the Jewish people, blessed is he. Shakarish Baruch Hu Chisha Vesakeit Laseis Kamesh Amar LaAvram Avinu BeBris Bein Habsarim. Hashem calculated the end to do as he told Avram Avinu in Bris Bein Habsarim, in this covenant, as it says, Yodaya teida geri zaracha beretz alohem. You should know your children will be strangers in foreign land 400 years, and then they will leave Berchus Gadol. Then they'll leave with great wealth. Right? Simply, here we are. We're celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the night of the Exodus. We're celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem kept his promise that he made 400 years earlier. And then what do? We cover the matzos, put away Yetzias Mitzrayim. We pick up a cup of wine, the cup of wine, and we say, "Vehi she'amda laveisenu velanu shloi echad bilvad amar aleinu lechaloseinu." And this is what has withstood us, because it wasn't just once Paro that tried to destroy us. In every generation, they try to destroy us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. What are we saying? It's the same promise, because in the promise, while the open wording was Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the context, the setting, the props included every exile and every difficulty. Because what Hashem was setting out for Avram here was, Avram Avinu, you're asking me, how do I know? How can you know that it's going to be yours for keeps? I'm promising you children, I'm promising you the land. But you know, easy come, easy go. The Canaanim are here now, and they're going to be out of there. So maybe your children, they're going to have a stint, they're going to have a fling in Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to be gone. You want to know how it's for keeps. I'm promising you explicitly about Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim will be the demonstration that this is not something which will ever go away, because 400 years is a long time when you're experiencing it, right? And, you know, in the span of history, maybe, you know, 400 years is but a speck, right? But it's pretty long for us. I don't know about you, I would consider it a fairly long time. And nevertheless, right, we're there, we're lost, we're enslaved. The classic way that nations disappear, right, into the dustbin of history. But what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Ve'ir el Avram ve'el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov ve'kel Shakai ve'shmi Hashem. When I adopted them, and I made a promise to them, I was going to give them Eretz Yisrael. These guys, they got to come out of here. They got to go back to Eretz Yisrael. It's always going to have to be. That was what Hashem was promising Avram. So while the first occurrence, the original occurrence, the teaching occurrence was Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it reflects forward on every golus and every experience, because we're always going to have to come back, always going to bring that promise back to fruition, so that it actually is going to be made to happen. And so says the Maharal, that golus Geulas Mitzrayim, the redemption of Mitzrayim, was that which Hayil Lasais Eschem Loi La'am. That was what made Klal Yisrael into the nation of Hashem. Made us into a nation. Yeah, before that we were just a big family. Now we were a nation. Right? It's more than that. It made us into Hashem's nation. Geulas Mitzrayim showed that it wasn't just that Hashem was enamored with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore he was nice to them, and he did great miracles to them, and he gave them a lot of children. But it showed, when at the point of Mitzrayim, which was, now we're remembering the covenant of the Avos and continuing things along with the nation that has been formed by their children, is creating the eternal connection that would exist between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The renewal of that connection. And therefore that serves, really, as the active basis. Yetzias Mitzrayim serves as the active basis. It's not just we wouldn't be here if not for Yetzias Mitzrayim. It serves as the active basis, the active Siba for every Golos which follows. Yeah.
In this Golios, the plural, is this a Torah? Is this in the Torah? I can't find it here.
The Torah doesn't explicitly ever speak of it. No, the Torah never explicitly speaks of any Golos other than Mitzrayim. And we end the Torah being redeemed from Mitzrayim, suffering to some degree a secondary Golos Mitzrayim as we're exiled in the desert for 40 years. But the Torah never explicitly speaks of these things. It won't, because it's bitnai. You know, we could potentially have avoided it if we would not have sinned, if we would have not have failed. But there are constant allusions to it. Constant allusions to it. And the same way, for instance, we understand that there are these two major sections of Tochacha, of stinging rebuke and warnings of dire things, one in the end of the book of Vayikra, one towards the end of the book of Devarim. And we understand now that the first one refers to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and the second one refers to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And there are dozens of allusions that the Medrash shows, the way it's expressed here, the way it's expressed there, that shows the difference between the two, but the Torah won't come right out and say it. What the Torah is saying is, I'm warning you, be careful, otherwise terrible things could happen. Right? But we know, now we know, and the Torah hints to the possibilities of these stages. The time, excuse me one second, the one time that we have a more open allusion is in the dreams in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, and the interpretation which he has of those dreams, that is the most explicit discussion of the exiles, and we'll see more about that later in the Netzach Yisrael of the Maharal. But in the verse, it's only hints. You know, it's even hinted, as you know, it's even hinted in the first verses of the Torah. Baratz Haisa Tohu Vavo V'Choshech Al Pnei Sahom. Right, that's also understood to be that darkness, that murkiness, is all referring to four stages of Golus also. But the Torah won't come out and say it. Golus Yishmael is a big sugya, big issue. In fact, the last year Hashanah Rabba, we spent the night on discussing it, and Maral will speak about it later in Netzach Yisrael. Maral is the primary source. Mi'at Hashem, we will have a chance to talk about it.
I don't know about Golus Yishmael, but the four that you're speaking about, is it from this source, and I guess from the other source in the beginning of Rishis, you just mentioned that we are confident that there are only four, as we speak about, okay, we're in our last exile now after this one. Of course, it doesn't have to be that way. It has to be five, six, you know.
Right,
you know,
a dozen, right?
It's from these sources that we understand that we are now in the last
correct
exile.
I mean, it's not that, oh, there's a medrash that says we're in the last exile right now. It's a staple of Emunas Yisrael that the Bayis Shlishi, the third temple, is the last temple. It's the Bayis Achrei. And, you know, if you were just going to go and make a study through Chazal, you could go and be very, thing was that once they experienced the four Goliaths, so they plugged it into the four Goliaths, you know, like that kind of a thing. But it doesn't work that way. And that which is most open about it, really, in a certain sense of the status of the four, although he was well before it, are those prophecies of Daniel. The prophecies of Daniel. You have a chance, anybody in your spare time. Daniel is one of the hardest books of Tanakh for us, especially because it's not written in, most of it's not in Hebrew, it's in Aramaic, which is more different than Talmudic Aramaic. But you ever have a chance, if you haven't been exposed to it especially, pull out an English translation, just read through the book of Daniel. Just you'll get a sense a little bit of the framework here for these discussions. But this is it. The active basis, and that makes the one, the Tufel, very much there. It's there, but it has to still be there.
Is Golus Mitzrayim not mentioned in these four? Like, Golus is always mentioned, it starts with Golus.
Right. That's right, because Golus Mitzrayim is the explicit one, and the one which is the prototype, the model, the example. It was the one which Klal Yisrael experienced before Geula, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally made them as a nation. The Arba Golios is what we experience post-Yitzias Mitzrayim, post-Matan Torah, that's going to be through the span of what we can now call Jewish history. Golus Mitzrayim, in a sense, was that from which we were born. We were born out of Mitzrayim. This is what we experienced during our life, during the unfolding of history. I just want to follow through with the last piece of this Maral, because he says, okay, so one second now. So I'm explaining this Gemara so intensely. Right? You could have read this Gemara very nicely and superficially and said, okay, so the question is, do you still remember the old days? Right? Do you remember Yitzias Mitzrayim? I'm saying no. The position of the Chachamim is that because Yitzias Mitzrayim is the active cause, we live constantly with Yitzias Mitzrayim because that's what forged this nationhood. That's what forged this connection. Therefore, it has to be mentioned every time. One second. So then what's the Gemara say? Oh, and it's just like Yaakov and Yisrael. Just like Yaakov and Yisrael. Well, you say over there, it says, don't say Yaakov anymore, say Yisrael. But we still say Yaakov. Right? We just add Yisrael. Yaakov becomes Tofel, Yisrael becomes Iker. Isn't that, just a question of, did he change his name on his driver's license? Didn't he change his name on his driver's license? Like, what's the Siba Umesove?
The same words were used by Avram and Abraham.
Not exactly. That's the next piece in the Gemara. The Gemara shows why by Avraham it's a permanent change, and by Yaakov, it's not a permanent change. So the Gemara discusses that, because it says Shimcha Yaakov before. Your name is Yaakov. There's an assertion of his name as well. But if we're using this cause-effect thing, what's the deal? So Maral says, beautiful, beautiful thing. He says, Yaakov means Okev, right? Heel, right? His name, the Pasuk says he was holding on to the heel of Esav. Yisrael is from the term Sar. Prince, significant, master, right? You fought with the Malach, Sarisa Melechim, Imelechim, Imanoshim, Vatuchal, fought with angels, with men, and you prevailed. So they're like two opposite names. And in a sense, that's why Yaakov's name is seemingly transformed. Instead of just being the heel all the time, where you got to coax and cajole and steal your way to being able to be successful and bow down to Esav, you will be able to stand up to him, and you will be a prince, you will be very strong. Says the Maharal, exactly right. Do you know what Chazal tell us constantly? They tell us constantly that the one who's going to rise to the top is the one who considers himself the simplest, the lowest. Kol hamagbia atzmai. Anyone who raises himself up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts him down. And kol hamashpil atzmai. Anybody who puts themselves down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbia, Hashem puts him up. And that's not just, okay, you're being so arrogant, slap him down. The idea is siba u'mesayvev that we spoke about earlier today. Earlier this morning. Which is that when a person is humble, person is humble primarily because of one reason. They realize, we realize, that whatever we are, we're completely and totally dependent on Hashem. How could a person dare to be arrogant if they realize what we were talking about earlier, that we wouldn't have a moment of existence if it wasn't for Hashem? And that those great looks and brilliance and every other thing that we're so proud of about ourselves, it's not ours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. He consistently gives it to us. Everything that we have, our wealth, our strength, we're mamish dependent on Hashem. The person has that before their mind, that they're constantly dependent on Hashem. So then, right, they're humble. They're humble. That's the idea. You know, that's what explains in Sfarim, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav mikol adam, the reason why he was the most humble of all people, was completely connected, as we know from the parasha, the fact that he was the greatest prophet. Because the clearer you see Hashem, the more humble you are. Right? It's not, oh, he was so humble, therefore he was able to see Hashem. The two are mamish one. If you see Hashem, of course you're humble. Of course you're humble. You see his greatness, you know how small you are. You know how dependent you are on him for everything. So when a person raises themselves up, that means they're starting to forget Hashem. That means they're trying to imagine that they rolled off the assembly line. And they're not connected to Hashem. If they're not connected to Hashem, you know what happens? They just cut off their life force. They just cut off their life force. You know, it's like the person goes and they have one of these, you know, that's an electric car that they got from Ford. And they say, oh, I'm on my own. And they unplug it from the wall and suddenly it stops working. Right? You didn't realize, oh my gosh, you know, my whole strength was because of that thing. I'm not really on my own. The more the person humbles himself, the more he's connected to Hashem. The more the person raises himself up, the more the person's forgetting about Hashem. So Yaakov becomes Yisrael. Yaakov, this is a creative interpretation. There are many interpretations of the name Yaakov that are used. This is a creative interpretation of Maharal. That Yaakov is the humility of Yaakov, the Okev of Yaakov, has to always be there in the background as the active cause of Yisrael, of the princeliness of Yaakov. Because once Shamanta Avisa Kasisa, once we get full of ourselves, and we think only of our princely and great status, and we forget the humility component, boom, the whole thing is punctured. So you can't have the name Yisrael without the name Yaakov in the background. You can't have Geula without Mitzrayim. Those two are always going to be linked. They're always going to be connected to each other. Our greatness built on our humility, our connection to Hashem built on the dramatic taking of us as an Am that happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So our redemption is dependent upon our ability to remember Mitzrayim? If we would forget it, then it wouldn't happen? I mean, it doesn't already... exists, or if we forget it just in our minds, then it won't happen.
I think so. I think Chazal say things like that. People say things like that. In fact, there's a classic, more Hasidic vort on that passage of the Haggadah, which we said before was Kol Yemei Chayecha, remembered all the days of your life, Lahavi Limais HaMashiach. That's what will bring, not, and Lahavi simply says to include the Mashiach times, but it's to bring the days of Mashiach. The more we remember, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the more we remember what Hashem did for us, the more we remember that that shows that we're His and we're His for keeps and everything else, the more we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back. And that becomes a self-fulfilling reality. Okay. Mit Hashem, we will proceed next week into the Netzach Yisrael.
Thinking for now,
Netzach
Yisrael. Do you mind if I have a recorder?
No. There's one right here, actually. So,